Talk, talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
Well, hello. It is Comic Talk Comedy. My guest is not here. Neither is my co-host. So I don't know what the heck to do. So I guess I will just speak to myself, which should be just a rousing good time. I feel like I should be drinking coffee sitting here alone. I don't even know why the lights are on. This is just a very lonely podcast today. Well, I guess I can talk about my week in comedy. Well, what can I say? I did a show at the Comedy Store on Wednesday. Wednesday of this week, I did the Comedy Store. And it was a weird little crowd. I went up third. And the crowd was very, they were together. They either really liked the joke or they didn't like the joke, and they were sensitive. There was a few times where they sighed, where there normally isn't a sigh. There's usually a laugh. But, yeah, it was fun. I went up after Damian Pruitt, a local hero in the community, who tends to talk very monotone. So I opened up by saying, give it up for Damian. He's available to put your children to sleep. To which the crowd immediately hated me. Yeah, that was good. So that was one way to start. Thursday, I did not do any shows, but I heard it was pretty good at the Comedy Store. A lot of couples, I've been told by the Dave Wright. He did his stuff. Oh, yeah, there was a crowd member after the show that was talking about Dave Wright that said they couldn't understand what he was saying, and he sounded like a chainsaw starting up, so I thought that was pretty interesting to hear. Last night was Winston's in Ocean Beach, the comedy show that I often do, and it was better than I thought. It was good. They were there early. They were there. I got there about 6:40, and there was already about 20 people there, which is cool. We had some people that brought in tickets, so they got them for free. And then while Sack Dave was on stage, he walked six people doing his little rap, hip-hop. There was six people, a group of four and a group of two that left the show because he was there. Yeah, so that was good. So I guess I shall just talk about how I think about comedy. Is that? No, that's not Jesse. No, all right. We're going to keep going here. Comedy and my thoughts on comedy as we speak. Well, I have been taking a break from comedy. Haven't been writing very much. Just not been feeling the bug. I think we all get into these times of struggle where we're not really loving comedy and questioning whether this is the right path that we should be going down. And I'm in one of those funks. I'm not sure if I really want to do it much longer. So I think somebody's here. Looks like our guest has arrived. Still no Jesse, but John made it. John Cheeser is here. In the no problem. Did you get lost?
What happened was is this what's the green here? Or no, I'll leave that. I didn't commit to my GPS. What happened?
You questioned the mechanism.
I took an exit early, and then because it was similar names. They're all Spanish names. I'm new to the area.
Right.
So it's like La Mesa, V Mesa.
Oh, and Jesse's here as well.
All right. Yes.
I had to start. He just got here, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I beat you by.
So I'm sorry, you guys.
No more than 15 seconds.
Yeah. I started the first 3 minutes by myself.
But I didn't commit. You got to do one or the other.
And yeah.
One of my biggest frustrations, they're talking about how I took two wrong turns because I didn't fully commit to GPS and just put it in. Because what happens is I get Pandora going, and then it's like it cuts in. I was listening to Rancid Station, so it's like all this heavy music, and then all of a sudden it's like right turn on La Mesa. You know, so I shut it off thinking I got this. I'm 2 miles away on the highway.
Right.
The Mesa's messed me up.
And Jesse?
I don't have an excuse.
No.
Yeah, I guess.
Heavier traffic than I anticipated, maybe?
Yeah, but I know.
I got here at like 56, which is late for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, no guest, no host. But I. So this was a weird one.
That kind of day.
No, it's great. It's good to be here, though. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm glad you made it. So I guess we can do. I kind of already went over what I did this week, Jesse.
Okay.
What
did you? Did the store this week, right?
Yeah, I did the store on Wednesday. Yeah.
I didn't make it up to the store because I was at the show in Oceanside for Heather Marie Zagone.
Oh, how'd that go?
It went fine.
Yeah.
You know, I did like 30 minutes in this restaurant. There was no stage or lights or anything, but...
Yeah, I did that one 2 weeks ago.
Oh, you did?
It's
okay,
definite,
so you were there.
And Heather, she is amazing. You know, with that room and then, Mr. Peabody's.
Yeah, I haven't done that one.
It's like two mics that, you know, the Oceanside one, it's just kind of like, hey... You get any response, you know it's a good
joke.
But you got to have kind of some thick skin, too.
Yeah, that's true. I think I did like 10 minutes of just ad-libbing crowd work at the top of it, which was really fun.
Yeah.
And then did my crap.
Well, you almost have to. Get their attention.
Yeah, it went a lot better than I thought it would.
Yeah.
So.
And then you pussied out to do Winston's last night.
Pussied out on Winston's.
It was good last night.
Yeah, it was a good crowd.
2 weeks in a row,
well,
we had a pretty
good
crowd.
I mean, there were human beings there. I don't know that I would call that good.
Yeah.
What's the window? See, I did it for the first time last week.
Right.
And ate my nuts.
Yeah.
And I got two laughs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a good room, though. I just, in particular, ate
Yeah.
I think it was good right in the sweet spot in the middle where I was supposed to go up, you know?
Right.
And then by the end, it was, too long or something because...
Well, they got there early. Like I said, yeah. I got there at 6:40, and it was already pretty busy.
I felt bad for Delvey because there was no one left in there.
Yeah.
And...
So I don't know why the people were there. I think they were there to see that one dude that went up for the first time, and we got, like, some tickets. Three people came in.
Is it a mix of people, like, just starting out? Because I saw a lot of really good comics that I hadn't seen in my short time down here.
Yeah.
Up at Winston's last week.
There's a
like,
mix.
Really funny people. That was, like, how, you know, I was kind of surprised that I hadn't seen them around.
Yeah.
Not that I'm going everywhere, but.
It's people that kind of been doing it a while, and some people, there's, like, just a core group of people that do Winston's. But most of the people don't.
Well, it's not an easy show. Definitely, there's a lot of distraction.
Right.
Is the window down every time there?
It was this time. But I remember last week, like I told you, he did some black joke, and then two black girls walked by right when he did the black joke.
Oh, man.
So,
white people problems. Yeah. I just think someone was
getting heckled by a homeless person in the window last night briefly there. So that's always kind of fun.
I mean, you have so many outs. You could throw cans, change.
Like, there's just so much going on.
Yeah, but I think it makes you stronger doing that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Because I felt... like Jesse said, I was getting some laughs, but up there, all I could hear is the people talking, you know. So it's
that's the equivalent of when you're on the road. That's your Wednesday Sunday show if you're doing like some of those B rooms that just like here, come on out to wherever, bumfuck middle of nowhere, and you do eight shows in like however many days. But typically, those are the two that are Sunday because you're exhausted. Wednesday because who's going out? In Tulsa on a Wednesday.
We don't have that excuse. Our show's Friday night.
But, you know, like, that'll prepare you for that, you know, ultimately. When you go to a new place or wherever and you're performing on a light crowd and inevitably, because you did Winston's, you're going to do good.
Right.
And then afterwards, the club owner will be like, oh, that was a really light crowd, great show. And, like, you know, you just...
Well,
at that point, it's fun, you know?
We had a girl right in the front talking on her cell phone.
Right.
I don't know why the door guards didn't tell her to leave, but she was talking on her cell phone, and she was complaining on her cell phone that the comedian was telling her to stop talking on her cell phone.
Yeah.
So that was pretty bad.
But she was probably there to see somebody, too. That was probably...
For sure.
I don't know. I think a lot of people were there for the band, it seemed like. I think they
said early for the band?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't know why they were there. There was a good little, like you said, little sweet spot area.
That, yeah.
You know.
I like Delvey's Cloud City, bitch. It cracks me up, Star Wars rap. Have you seen him do that?
No.
Oh, my God. I don't know. What rap song
now,
was
who
that?
Is this?
Michael Delvey?
Michael Delvey? No, I haven't seen
Michael Delvey?
Yeah. It's from
Twitter.
Cloud City, bitch.
Cloud, what is it?
It's from Cloud City.
Cloud City is the original song? No, it's called something else, right?
Oh, he says Cloud
City? It's called, like, Rack City.
Rack City, yeah.
And then he does Cloud City, which, if you're a Star Wars nerd, it's about Star Wars. So it's a pretty
Mark
specific...
Ellis to get his hands on that one. I think it's Mike Black.
Yeah.
Those two. Huge.
Yeah. Did you do any shows this week, John?
I did, Yes, actually, I did the San Diego comedy competition.
Oh, how'd that go?
It went great. I had a fantastic set.
In advance?
Hell no, I didn't.
You didn't?
I brought my girlfriend.
That was Tuesday at the Madhouse?
And I went up very first, which I think the lack of bringing people and going up first.
That's brutal.
As far as competition goes. But my set, actually, I had a great set.
Oh, that's good.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, did move on. That's fine. They kind of snuck me in. I mean, I just moved down here, like, 2 months ago,
right.
So I kind of felt weird about it anyway.
So you were like an alternate kind of thing? Then you get stuck with that first spot,
yeah,
though.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was a weird thing where my cousin had come over, and we had to move his car because I live downtown, so it was going to be like $40, and then it was like right when we were signing up, and then so, it, you know, people can't drive because they've been drinking, you know, and all these things. So it's like I missed the sign-up.
What was the turnout like on Tuesday over there for the contest? I know that it used to be on Mondays.
Man.
I don't know if that makes any difference, Monday versus Tuesday.
I would say 30.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I would say 30. And they were a good crowd, an honest crowd.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I was a little disappointed because for the first time ever in my comedy career, I caused a guy to spit his drink out.
Nice.
And he was in the front row.
Yeah. And you should get extra points for that.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
Are there judges on that? On the.
I don't really know how the scoring works.
I think it's all audience.
It was.
Yeah. Judging by the results, it's definitely, I would say, 95% all audience.
But you didn't see any judges or anything. Like,
no.
Okay.
No. I think it's just by the tallies.
Maybe they don't do it
in the early rounds. I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, do you know who advanced?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Fuck them. Don't worry.
They were. Amazing comics and sure to be stars very, very soon.
Yeah,
that's right.
Sure to be stars.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got to take a break. But we got more with John Schieser and Jesse Egan after the break. We're back.
Woo!
WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet
Woo!
Talk. Be back in
Woo!
3 minutes.
Woo!
Bye.
Woo-hoo! Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
No.
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 No, we don't tweet. But we're back on the air.
No, you
don't. People got to ask about our Twitter. I don't tweet. I don't.
Jeff's on Twitter, though. Jobless comedian.
Yeah.
And I'm on as myself. And Instagram? I'm on Instagram. Instagram, John?
I'm tagging it right now.
Everybody follow John.
You can find me at hashtag J-O-N is here. John is here.
Nice. John is here. That's a pretty good...
My last name is Schieser, which is incredibly... I can't even spell it half the time.
You can.
And because it gets tricky towards the end. So I just shortened it, you know, and for radio purposes, just like...
Well, it's surprising.
John, no H, John is here.
That you got that. That's probably a popular...
Yeah, really.
John is here.
I got the .com like 3 or 4 years ago, and... been running with it ever since.
Has any other Johns contact you to try to get that name?
Not yet. I'm holding out. I'm thinking like 2020, possibly.
Yeah.
Someone other than myself with the name John, J-O-N, is going to have to step up.
What about Stamos? Mm-hmm. Is he J-O-N?
John Stewart.
I don't believe so. John Stewart is. Mm-hmm. And it's just John. It's not short for Jonathan. I just always said I got really lazy parents.
They didn't
Yeah.
Just John.
It's like, just John.
Just John.
What's your dad's name?
Greg.
Greg.
And my grandfather's name is John.
Not Gregory, though. Not Gregory, just Greg.
His may be Gregory.
All right. So your grandfather's not lazy.
It's been years since I've seen my dad's driver's license.
He's Jeff, not Jeffrey, so it's good.
Well, I'm a Jeffrey.
Yeah, you're a Jeffrey.
But it's spelled weird. It's J-E-F-F-R-Y.
My full name's Jessica, so that's real weird.
Yeah.
Jeff-R-Y.
So what brought you back to San Diego?
My girlfriend works down here. And
has she always worked down here?
That is a bad spell.
Where does she work?
She sells. So say you want a cell phone and you can't buy it, her company will then buy it, and then you pay them and ask just some ridiculous percentage to have some phone you can't afford.
Okay.
So she goes around all the different cell phone stores in the county. And so originally I was in Orange County, and she was driving down here at least 4 days a week, which added up to about 20 hours a week in your car, because it wasn't just driving down here, but then driving out to, like, El Centro and, like, in the whole fucking region, really.
Yeah,
so
El Centro's a ways out there.
After a couple of months of that, and I was coming down here anyway at least once a week, you know, sometimes more, but yeah, we talked about moving down here and found a place, live right downtown. And so it's like two blocks from both clubs. And, I really like it. When I first moved down here, I was gone for that first month on and off for a little bit on the road. But now that I've been here for a couple weeks and there's just comedy everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a comedian listening to this, you don't live, you know, in California and you're thinking, I want to move out to the coast or whatever. I mean, don't discredit San Diego as a place to perform and get good at comedy. There's just a lot. Every night of the week, there's one, if not two.
Are you trying to recruit more comedians to San Diego? We need more comics here.
No, I mean,
San Diego. There's only 600 of us right now.
Allegedly.
We could get up to 1,200.
I ask, and everyone, the common number I got was 100. That's like legitimate.
Are you in the San Diego Comedians Facebook group?
I am. I was accepted into that, which felt pretty good.
There's about 700 people in that group, I think.
Yeah. That's what I, they're like, you'll see 700 in the group. But 100, it was the actual number that was thrown at me. By
well, there's 150 just in the competition.
Yeah, there you go. So there you go.
More than 100.
150. 50 of those probably just started and will advance because they're breaking the house.
Will advance because they're not going on first.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, or they're bringing more than their
technically only
gorgeous girl.
Technically 60 will advance.
Oh, look at the math on this guy.
Because 15 rounds,
it's
four
a lot
people
of
each.
Rounds, yeah. They said that the first round continues
first
until
round
March.
Goes until 2016.
Yeah,
so that's
yeah exactly. This is actually the 2017 funniest competition. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Jeff, when's your date? You're in February sometime?
I don't even care.
But it's a good deal. Like, you get money and, like, you get, you know, book shows, I guess, at Madhouse, like 10 of us, you know.
Jesse booked a tour from winning last time.
Dude, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's no joke. I was definitely upset that I didn't move on.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, well, you know, whatever.
But do they have those types of things in L.A.?
No, not really. I remember in Kansas City, that's how I first started, like, mm-hmm. way back when.
How long ago did you start?
This would have been in 2000, and the first time I got on stage was in late May of 2001.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And I got up and...
How old were you then?
20.
Okay.
Yeah, 21. Or, no, 20. I was still 20. And so I went up like 10 times like in the first couple of years when I still lived in the Midwest, you know, over like 3 or 4 years before finally, when I finally moved out to the West Coast, kind of started getting up more frequently.
And was there something that happened that made you say, hey, it's time to go?
Rick Ingram, actually.
Okay.
Like, we were friends from high school, and like, we hung out a
super
lot
funny guy
in college, and I mean, we would just laugh. And so what happened, I went down to the Stanford and Sons in Kansas City and watched the open mic, and it was just so bad. Like, I just went back to Rick. I'm like, and he had performed like comedy one time previously at like some summer camp thing or something. Like,
right.
So he had done it a few times, and in high school, he was like the head of our like, assemblies, like he and my other friend Eli would write them and put on these huge like comedy sketches.
Uh-huh.
And, like, the biggest crowd I've ever performed in front of is still in high school. It's like 2,400 people.
Wow!
Like our gym just
it's a big high school.
Wow!
I got to play the Undertaker.
No.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan broke a 2x4 over my back.
Nice.
The real Hacksaw, or
well, it was a good impersonator.
Was Rick Ingram as Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
I think Ingram was Ed McMahon, but they cut the board too sharp, so they were mid swing and it splintered before it hit me, and so I just got 4 wood splinters drug across my back.
Oh, like, God!
And I didn't feel it for 5 minutes because I had so much adrenaline rushing from performing.
That's real pro wrestling.
And then afterwards, I was like, my back stings. Take off my shirt, and everyone's like, Jesus, dude, you are bleeding. Eating everywhere.
Oh,
it's like
God.
That scene in Tommy Boy where it's like, I feel it.
Yeah,
exactly. Right here.
Not so much here or here.
But between the shoulder blades, nothing.
Oh,
it feels wet, though. Nope. But yeah, I wasn't impressed with the comedy, so
yeah.
Rick and I started doing it, and it was at the tail end of their Best of Kansas City. So they had like, the way it worked is you had to go to an open mic, make the finals of that week, and then be one of the top 3 to get one vote. You had to be voted. You had to get 3 votes over the course of like 20 weeks or something to qualify for the finals. So we come in right, literally the last 2 weeks of this thing. So we're down there, our second week ever of performing, and they're reading off the list of the finalists. And then You know, they're like, so-and-so, da-da, Jesse Turney, Rick Ingram, da-da-da-da-da, two tons of fun, Russ McGinnis, da-da-da-da-da, John Schieser, da-da-da. And we look at each other like, wait, did they? Is this the finals list? So they just stuck us in the finals immediately.
Were you the only two that didn't have a fun nickname?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, the thing is, that's what you get with the nicknames. They last.
Yeah.
Two tons of fun, Russ McGinnis. I don't even know if he's still alive, but he'll always be alive in my
You know what? I'm thinking probably not.
Yeah.
That's I'm guessing true. Two tons
unless
of fun
down,
didn't make it.
He's down to one ton or a half ton.
Half ton McGinnis.
But Rick ended up getting second place in that. And,
was he doing jokes back then?
Impressions, man.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, I got this video from, I guess, 14 years ago, and it was just all impressions. It was Willow, Jerry Seinfeld performing at a Klan rally, like just all this like crazy stuff.
That's awesome.
So 2001, you know. But then he moved out to L.A. I continued to stay in the Midwest, not finish college, just, you know, do that. Hey, I'm 22 and not going to get a degree, but this is pretty comfortable living thing for a couple of years. And
yeah.
Then eventually saved up, got into comedy, did it a few more times. And then I moved out for the 1 month to see if I could last or if I liked it.
To L.A.?
Yeah. And Rick had just gotten a job at the Comedy Store in Hollywood.
Okay.
So every day he worked, and so I would just get in the van with him. We'd drive up to Hollywood from his place, and I would just sit there and watch the show every night. And then they had open mic Mondays and Tuesdays. And everyone was friendly, and it was nice because...
Who were the other door guys back then?
At that time, it would have been... Ren Azizi, Steve, who's, you know, now on Star of the League, Ari Shaffir, Steve Simone was still working on the back door, which is, if you're listening, grab his new album. Steve Simone's on iTunes. Absolutely hysterical.
He's awesome.
And then, God, I'm trying to think, some old school guys like Dan Bylack and,
Two Tons of Fun McGinnis?
Two Tons didn't make it out.
No.
His rig broke
I would think he'd be pretty
down.
Good at blocking the door.
Outside of Tucumcari, New Mexico. He would have been. But, yeah, just a bunch of old school guys like that, you know. And David Taylor worked the door. But I remember, you know, it's like, oh, these guys, they were nice and cordial and be like, hey, you know, welcome to Hollywood. And I just remember getting up and Ari Shaffir was hosting the open mic. And, like, Bobby Lee would host the open mic.
Okay.
And... I remember I go up and I get off and Ari Shaffir, the first thing he says after I get off stage, he goes, well, I don't know what that was. That was not comedy. That was horrible. It's just like, John, what are you even talking about? That didn't even make sense. And just starts shitting on me for two straight minutes. And I
so
was like,
so some things haven't changed.
Like, wait. Like, that wasn't fair. What are you supposed to be my friend? What are you doing?
Right.
Like, that wasn't nice. And then I learned that day, it's like anything goes in comedy.
They've been doing it that way since then, I guess, right? Because that's the open mic on Mondays with friends and family afterwards.
Yep.
And they're sort of traditionally abusive to us, to the
it
comics
is,
that go up on that. So they were like that even back then, huh?
And they still are. Like, you know, depending on who's hosting, like Benji will give me some horrible,
this guy's
German, and like they'll have the friends and family, you know, and so.
I think they should rename that, fucking enemies.
Yeah, friends, frenemies and
people
and
we hate. And
two tons of no fun.
Right. I mean, they don't treat any of us like friends or family when we do it.
It's constant jabs, but it keeps you on your toes. And you can always hit back, too, which is, you know, always great.
Well, in our experience, it was like you'd go up, you'd get off, you get insulted. When's your opportunity to hit back? I mean, you're not back up there. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, literally, you could punch them in the face.
Oh, I guess you could.
And it flies up there.
You get banned from the floor.
So you worked there, though, didn't you?
I worked there for 3.5 years. About 1.5 years too long.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's kind of how I feel right now.
You know.
What happened that you decided, hey, I can't do this anymore?
A couple of things. I was kind of getting burnt out, and I kind of butted heads with Dean Gelber, the manager, at the time a little bit, and it was just kind of like...
Well, we got more with John coming up after the break. WSRadio.com, worldwide leader.
Woo,
we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Woo.
Bye.
talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we're back. third yes. segment already with John is
going
here.
Quick because it's fun. That's why.
Yeah, it's a good time.
John is here now.
Yeah. So you here. Said that you kind of just felt like you were getting burnt out and you
yeah,
were working there was too
it was
much.
The time. It was the time. Like, and I was there at this weird. Like when I first got there, like Mitzi still came in mm-hmm. and she was old and she had her Parkinson's, but they still brought her in and they still right. she still watched. And so I remember her with the candle burning in the back. 2.5 times is how many times I got up in front of her. Because one time she came in like halfway as I was performing. And like you could tell because the whole room like goes silent.
Really?
And everyone like would look and be like, ah, man, she's coming in. You know, and that
What's
kind of thing.
What's the candle all about?
It, she was just this thing to fuck with the comics, I swear. Like, no light in the audience at all.
Yeah.
And then in the back would just be like this red candle.
She would hold a candle?
On that table, you know, right next to the chair. But yeah. it's I held it that high because she was so little. Wow. Like, it would, her face would, like, almost be hiding behind the table, you know, because she was so, like, old and frail.
Wow.
And so, I don't know, they, like, they just, the years I worked there, they stopped doing showcases. Mitzi stopped coming in. They didn't know who the talent coordinator was for 3 years. And then, like, all this other internal stuff was all going on. So the club just was existing, not growing.
Right.
You know, things, there were a lot of good comics there, but it was just a weird kind of period. And then, so I just kind of got to the point where I wasn't really advancing, and it was actually, you know, I was working there so much. I wasn't able to go up in other places.
You couldn't do the other rooms.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and then when the
Do
night
they specifically tell you, like, you're not allowed to go do improv Laugh
no,
Factory?
No, I think that was like a 70s, 80s thing, like
yeah.
right after their little feud and
right.
Ollie Joe or whoever burned down the improv or what. I can't remember. It's in several books, but no, it wasn't anything like that at all. And in fact, like, that's how our comedy basketball league started, is because we would go play on Saturdays, and it would be like the improv door guys, the comedy store door guys, you know, and
uh-huh.
and just we'd all, you know, hung out. And so
did you ever perform over there at the improv?
Yeah, a couple okay. times, but just it would be like, oh, so, you know, so and so's doing a show here, or like, you know, just random shows,
mm-hmm.
but not frequently enough, you know. And that's the main thing. Like, any advice to, you know, anyone starting comedy, just go up everywhere. Don't limit yourself to one place. I mean, it's nice to have like a home club or a home club or two or whatever, but don't make that the only place you perform.
You know, your experience with comedy is like almost the opposite of what most of the San Diego comics are sort of, you know, trying to do. I mean, like you did L.A. first for years, sort of got burnt down on it, and then came down here.
Well,
and whereas everyone else is sort of like, they're training down here thinking that they then will go up there. And
I
didn't
really get burnt out. It was, for me, like, I'm on the road now a lot, and so I do like...
For
this,
comedy or for...
For comedy.
Okay.
So I do like the same kind of markets. And so for me, it's about, I'm just tired of having to do, you know, if I end up doing like an hour and like 10, like, I just, there's some jokes I never even want to have to think about again, you know?
Yeah.
So...
Are you touring with Rick or something? What are you doing on the road?
No, I actually just set up my own shit, really.
Oh, yeah?
I'll call up clubs, set up weekends on my own. I've never had any management or anything.
Uh-huh.
And so I just think outside the box. And so I'll just hit up other comics from the region. Facebook's a, you know, very helpful tool.
Right. Now, when you're hitting up clubs, do you submit video? Do you give them
yeah.
headshots
well,
and everything
here's the key,
else, or what?
It's the website, that johnishere.com. I noticed as soon as I got that up.
That helped?
And it looks professional, and it looks nice, and, like, I got my two little commercial clips on there, and I try to maintain all of my shows that I do just professional.
Okay.
Like, if you were to go on anybody's website, what you would at least expect to see, if not hopefully a little bit more.
Okay.
And I noticed as soon as that tool was there for me to use, or to, you know, include in a link underneath
mm-hmm.
an email, you get a lot better response from people.
Because okay.
they realize that you're serious.
That's good advice.
And you're not just somebody calling. And really, if you're trying to, and for me, I'll go up anywhere. So if I'm calling, like, Wenatchee, Washington or something, like, it doesn't have to be a .com. It could be a Tumblr or whatever. You can just,
yeah.
people don't know the difference.
And are you submitting for feature and headlining stuff?
Headliners, one-nighters,
really?
Features,
Do you try to set up like a string of dates in the area?
Exactly.
Okay.
And so what happened was, is a few years ago, I had a show in Portland, like 2 weeks later, one in Boise, and then like 2 weeks following that, one in the Midwest. And so anyway, I had like four possible flights that I had to take over the course of like 6 weeks. And I was like 3 months out on this thing. And so what I ended up doing was is I just got very resourceful, called people, set up stuff. Like, hey, what was that one show you did that one time last year you were telling me about in Bend, Oregon or whatever? And like got a lot of names and contacts and just started calling people. And so
you go by yourself or you got?
Yeah, yeah. I'll go out by myself. Sometimes like if I know comedians in cities, you know, I'll set up regional stuff with them.
Very clever.
You
That's
know,
cool.
guys that I know that are that I've seen before, you know, or like especially if they're like if you're young and funny and like. Like, that's, to me, like, was always, when I was starting out especially, you know, it's like, hey, come do this show with me. Like, or come do 30 minutes for the first time ever. Yeah. You know, it's like, god damn
it. I mean, is it profitable?
These are paid spots. Okay.
I would much rather do 4 one-night shows than a weekend at a club. Because you get kind of burnt out on the club. You don't have to deal with the fucking club owner.
Uh-huh.
Like, not that they're all evil people, but they're never there come payday. The check's always X amount short of what it was supposed to be.
Okay.
Doesn't matter how many emails you dig up that say, here's what you said. You
right.
know? And that's, again, not at every club, but it's just like,
so one-nighters are more consistent as far as, like, you just get paid for that night.
Here's the money. You, on average, you're getting more money per show.
A couple hundred bucks or something?
Minimum.
Yeah.
And then, and then the other key to this is merchandise. Like, if you're going to be out on the road, have something you can sell.
What do you got?
I just have a simple T-shirt. I know people do, like, koozies because you can get, like, 100 of them, I guess, for $30. Or they're, like, super cheap.
You do a CD, too? Or
I don't. What actually I do is I have my album is free to download on my website.
Uh-huh.
And so what I'll do is I like performing, like, the one-nighters because it's like you get a whole new, like, city kind of region, you know, each time you perform.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of, like, just sitting there. And which, you know, obviously the weekend gigs aren't bad either. But yeah,
these are a lot of weekday gigs you're talking about for one-nighters?
You know, so, like, to go back to my original thing, so what I did was, like, I set up a one-nighter in Sacramento, and then I went up, did the weekend in Portland, and then while I was up there, I did 2 or 3 other, like, one-nighters within that week on my way to, and then I stayed with an old friend for, like, 2 nights. He had this sweet cabin in Oregon.
Cool. Did you have to fly to each one of
the
spots?
Nope. I drove. I ended up driving, like, 9,000 or 10,000 miles over like 8 weeks. And so I went up to Oregon, then over to Boise, was in Boise for like 5 or 6 days doing, because that was one of those Wednesday to Sunday type gigs.
At Liquid Laughs or what?
Yes, actually. Yeah. And Boise is a great city, man. If you haven't been there, it's like just as a city, it's actually surprisingly.
So the clubs
cool.
promote it well?
Yeah.
I mean, do you have a following?
I'm trying to build a following. So, and I'm just in the last year or two started compiling email lists, and you know, you don't always get responses, but man, they work, man. If you just like, not only bomb people's emails constantly, but it's like, hey, here's a funny video, check it out, or oh, by the way, I'm going to be back in, you know, Manhattan, Kansas in 4 months or 3 months, just to give you a heads up. And like, I find that it actually helps not only to bring people back, but then if they're excited enough to come back, they're going to bring people to like experience what they already saw.
So do you normally do door deals or is it a set price?
It depends. Like sometimes I'll do door deals. The set price is always nice too, because then you don't have to worry about it. But
if you're headlining, what about the support? Like, do they book other people around you, or for those one nighters, are you just by yourself, or how does it work?
It depends on the city. Like, if it's like, say, if I'm back in like Kansas City, like, you know, I've got a couple really funny comics that I know there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I'll just have them come out and feature for me, like, you know, these two shows, and then I'll maybe grab somebody else to feature for me on these two shows that I'm doing on these.
How much time do you usually do on those?
Those, like 45 and to an hour. It depends. Like, really, like an hour and a half is like the perfect length for a comedy show.
Right. But for you, you're doing a 45-minute set?
Like 45 to an hour.
Did it take you a long time to build up a 45-minute set?
It did, but I didn't realize I was doing it because I was working at the comedy store, like working on a joke. Here's this joke this month and this joke this month. And then
eventually
it got to that first time I had to do 30 minutes and I'd never sat down and like put everything together and been like, this goes with this and this is kind of like this joke. And I never tried to like shove it all together. And so after I'd been working there like 2 years and I had to do my first feature spot, sweating bullets, I'm like, I don't even have that much time. And
where was your first feature spot?
Was in with Tim Gaither in Arizona at Laughs in Tucson, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like all panicking. He's like, nah, man, just a friend. He's like, you have to have that much time. He's like, there's no way you don't. He's like, you just never done it, you know. And
right.
He's like, just sit down, write it out. And sure enough, that first time, I think I did like 35 minutes. Like, I went over. I was like so happy. And he was just, and it was great too, because Tim like really helped me out, like just calmed me down. It's like, that's a lot of time on stage.
Did you bring a set list?
Yeah, I brought it up there.
Okay. Yeah.
I was like, I got no shame. I'm like, I'd rather have this right here.
Do you have a TV credit or some sort of marketable credit that you use for these tours?
I've done like background work on Sullivan and Son, and then like a couple like national commercials.
So you let them know that, right? I mean,
it's got to be a marketing tool. All that stuff is definitely on my website. And then
you think they would consider you if you didn't have these TV credits?
I mean,
they would.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Because I know, like, before I did those things, like, I was still able to book.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, man, there's thousands of comics out there that you'll never meet, you'll never see, you'll never hear of unless you stumble across their YouTube video that work the time doing this. Like,
do you know Ross the Boss?
No. Does he know Two Tons of Fun?
Yeah.
Probably. How do you say
tons in Spanish? I want to say Two Tons of Fun in Spanish.
We'll look that up in the break.
Dos tunnels?
Dos tunnels.
Gonna take our last break. WSRadio.com.
This is great, man.
Fun time. John Cheese, our last segment. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back.
Woo!
Final segment.
Woo!
So when you are at these shows, if they go well, do you sit down with the booker and say, hey, let's pick a date a year from now, six months from now?
Yeah, in the winter I always chill out because anywhere, a lot of the places I'll go, like, it's cold and I don't want to go there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But usually spring, summer, and up into early fall I'll go, so... Like, if I'm going up to the Northwest, I'll try to hit that up late spring, early summer, and then at least give myself, you know, 3 or 4 months before I kind of go back into that area again. But, yeah, that's one good thing is just to retain a gig, like, when you leave there, just say, hey, but, you know, let's do this again, if you want to. Sometimes, you know, you leave gigs, you're like, wow, I hope I never have to be here ever.
Yeah. So are you just doing comedy? Do you have any other sources of income?
Comedy and commercial acting. That's what's great about... You know, I moved down here. I wasn't really over L.A. It's like, I still go up to L.A. like twice a week.
Okay.
And still play, like, on the Comedy Store basketball team up there on Monday nights. But it's actually been, I feel like I actually get more done now because when I go up there, like, I'll set up, like, I'll do my Sportsaholics podcast or, you know, I'll set up a meeting and do some, you know, write sketches and just kind of force myself to be creative and use the time since I'm driving, you know, 2 hours up to L.A.
to be more productive.
Yeah, so I'll try to get there by 2, do all my stuff, basketball or, you know, whatever I'm doing that night, the show, and then...
So you audition for commercial work? Is that what you do up in... Do you do that in L.A. When you're up there? That's like actual commercials on TV,
like,
and stuff?
Yeah, like just a complete crapshoot is, you know, like, you just...
What's some of the commercials you've done?
I've done, one, I used to have a huge beard, so I did one for Cracker Barrel, and the only reason I even booked that cheese company, Cracker Barrel Cheese, which I didn't even know existed until this commercial, but...
Do beards sell cheese?
It does when you look exactly like the director. And so, in this commercial, I was playing a director that I looked exactly like the director of the actual commercial.
Oh, so.
Very confusing if you followed me there. So I booked that one because I looked like the dude that actually was running shit. And then the other commercial I booked with a beard, and then this motherfucker, they got to him first, and he had a beard, so he was like, no, I'm not shaving it. So then they came at me with, can you shave? I'm like... Yeah, I'll shave.
And what was that for?
That was for Dial soap. That was like back in like April or May. And then, which I was actually happy with because then I had an excuse to shave a fucking ridiculous beard that I had.
So you had been keeping it just for commercials, basically?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
For cheese?
Because you know Ryan Mervis, he told me like growing the beard was the greatest thing he ever did.
For him, yeah, but he looks like a gnome. You know, and it like really ties Merv together.
Mm-hmm.
It's got
for
a real
me,
Viking thing going.
I grew the beard because I was actually at the time working as a chef in North Dakota for these oil companies. So it was negative fucking 40 degrees outside. So I grew the beard so my face didn't fall off. Yeah. And then 4 months after I grew it, I stopped working there. And then came back to L.A., called up the old commercial agent. He was like, you look like $1 million, like a hipster is what he meant to say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And which is every commercial. You got to look like a hipster.
Is that right?
Pretty much, unless you're selling something for Lowe's, I think.
So how long have you been with your girlfriend?
Well over a year now.
She seems pretty supportive of the comedy.
She's great, man. Love of my life and very supportive, which for comedy is a very crucial part of a successful relationship.
She's not a comedian.
No, but loves comedy.
Okay.
To the point where I'm like, shut the fucking comedy off. I don't want to watch any more comedy.
So I'm with you on that.
Yeah. I'm like, yes, that is, Dane Cook is funny, honey. You wanted to go to In-N-Out again? Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about the Dial commercial? I'm just so curious about that commercial work. I mean, you go in for an audition for that, and they go, this guy stinks. He needs Dial soap. How does that work?
This is the whole commercial. That's all I do. Power scrub. Power scrub. Power scrub. And that is it. That is all I did in the commercial. And paced around.
While scrubbing with soap?
No, not even. I come in and I've got the dirty tie, and then I walk through this big. It's me and three other guys. One has a tuba for some reason, and then we come out the other side of the shower.
Is this still on TV? Can we still see this?
It should be. It popped up. The last time I saw it was on ESPN 3 weeks ago.
No kidding.
So it might still be running.
Wow. And you get paid every time it's on, or did you just get paid flat?
No, I got really fucked over. It is a non-union commercial, my friend, which, unbeknownst to me, apparently non-union means they can air it as many. Well, what it means is they give you a flat fee, which isn't, it's nice, it's a check, but it's really frustrating when you get, everyone's like, oh, I saw you on this, I saw you on this, I saw you on this, and you've long since spent all the money that you're going to get from that thing.
Yeah.
But, whatever, it's better than nothing. Yeah. And it was a fun experience, but, with the amount that we got paid as actors, I know that they spent, that amount on 1/50th of the production.
Sure.
They paid to rent that car right there.
Yeah.
More than what they paid us.
Did you get a lifetime supply of Dial soap?
Good question.
No, and I tried to support. I bought 2 bottles of the shit. It's called Power Scrub. It's not bad.
Oh, is it called Power Scrub?
Power Scrub, yeah.
Power Scrub. Do people recognize you, by the way? Do people come up to you and start going, Power Scrub?
No, because I have, in that one, since I'm tall,
mm-hmm.
I'm in the back, and then it's weird, when they shoot stuff, if you can't see the camera, it can't see you.
Yeah.
So, I spent the whole time, the entire day filming this commercial, trying to, snake my head from behind, all these three guys walking
with
in front
tubas?
Of me. Yeah, the whole time. So, I'm, trying to dance. Meanwhile, I got the big black guy next to me, and he's trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
It was just very, I don't know, it was weird. They're, shooting sparks out. And
we're coming up to the end.
So far you haven't been recognized, though?
No, I have not. I have not, thankfully.
What is the worst show you've ever had?
Oh, man, that is tough.
It's
I've had
so
some
many,
good
right?
ones. The Rook last Saturday was pretty shitty.
Yeah?
That was, 4 drunk people at
the
a bar.
The Rook, where's that?
I don't know, where is it?
Salvador
is
on alcohol.
It's like a Saturday night bar B C room.
Bar slash chess place.
Who booked you on that?
That was I was standing at the Comedy Store. I did a guest spot with Ahmed last week and
cool.
Sal. What's his last name?
Viesca.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was like, hey, if you want to, this is starting in an hour. So I drove over there. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
It was just one of those where no one's listening.
Yeah.
Where you're just talking and you just hear yourself and you're like, no one is listening to this except for me. I actually just threw out an N-bomb just to see if anyone was listening.
Did they start listening after that?
Some of these two white dudes in the front turned around. I was like, so I accused them of being racist. And
they're racist because you said that.
Because they got there. Yeah,
that's
exactly. But no, I mean, there's, how it goes. There's always horrible
shows. We always ask the same generic questions. See if there's one that sticks in your head.
Yeah, do you remember?
I got a drink thrown on me. I was
really?
Featuring with Tammy Pascatelli in Kansas City like 3 years ago. Called this lady a bitch because she had balloons tied up on her chair, like blocking front row of the club. Improv, nice club, blocking obviously somebody's fucking view.
Right.
She's sitting in the front,
nobody can
talking.
See.
So I go, hey, you know, and I did it the right way where I let her like just sound
the right
like,
way to call a woman a
well,
bitch.
Here's what you do. You let them interrupt the show enough where everyone notices before you jump on them.
Okay.
And you do it at the right time in your set so you don't come out as the asshole.
Right.
You know, so I'm like, hey, shut up. You know, you're acting like a bitch. And everyone's like, yeah. And what you do is you get the whole audience to turn on them. You're like, all these people paid hard money to come in here.
Yeah.
And you play that one. And then they're like, yeah. And so 2 hours later, sitting out there with Tammy, and she's like, oh, here comes that drunk lady.
Mm.
She comes walking up. And so I don't even look at her. I'm just going to ignore her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just water all over my shirt. Stand up. And I look. And I hadn't got my beer yet. Or else I would have just doused that bitch. But her boyfriend or whoever the dude was standing right there.
Yeah.
And like I was like, I should just deck this dude. And then I just started questioning his manhood for dating such a raging whore.
You were yelling at him now?
Yeah.
What's the best show you ever had?
The best show? There's been a few, but, you know, it's just the ones where you get off stage and you can't get to sleep till like 3, 4 in the morning. Like, and you're on cloud 9 and you just...
Yeah.
Is there one that sticks in your head?
Feel great.
15 seconds?
No, not really. I'm still waiting for
the 2400 back in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to play the Undertaker.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Man. Well, thanks for coming in.
Hey,
check out his Twitter, his Instagram, his Facebook.
Yeah, hashtag JohnJON is here.
All right, WSRadio.com.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Keep touring, brother.
Woo! See you next week.
Woo!